Good morning, FC Sears. I know most of you are at home, but I thought we might sneak in the back here and bring you to our other little home away from home. You might remember it, our church. Anyways, I also want to welcome Pastor Rick. We're super excited to have you. Thank you for being with us, Pastor Rick. Many are not aware that you and I have something important in common. We both attended Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley, California. You receiving a wonderful hard-earned PhD. I know that's a lot of work. And I attended there because a friend of mine got a PhD there. So I consider us brothers of the similar experience and walking a similar path. That said, I will now turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Up to us to be the change, and even more. Even with our differences, there is a place we're all connected. Each of us can find each other's
In his collection, The Clown in the Belfry, Frederick Buechner declares that if we only had eyes to see and ears to hear and wits to understand, we would know that the kingdom of God, in the sense of holiness, goodness, beauty, is as close as breathing and is crying out to be born within ourselves and within the world. We would know that the kingdom of God is what we all of us hunger for above all other things, even when we don't know its name or realize that it's what we're starving to death for. The kingdom of God is where our best dreams come from and our truest prayers. We glimpse it at those moments when we find ourselves being better than we are and wiser than we know. We catch sight of it when at some moment of crisis, a strength seems to come to us that is greater than our own strength. The kingdom of God is where we belong. It is home. And whether we realize it or not, I think we are all of us homesick for it. In his text for the beautiful hymn, God of the Sparrow, Yaroslav Vyada lines out some of the many wonders of God and God's creation, from the simple to the grand. Then at the end of each stanza, he asks how creatures, including us, you and me, maybe especially us, how will we respond? God of the Sparrow, God of the Whale, God of the swirling stars, how does the creature say, oh, how does the creature say praise? God of the rainbow, God of the cross, God of the empty grave, how does the creature say grace? How does the creature say thanks? It's that last question that's on my mind this morning. How does the creature say thanks? In the world outside, it's the season of Thanksgiving, commemorated by some of the great songs of the season. Come, O thankful people, come. Let all things now living a song of thanksgiving to God our Creator triumphantly raise. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices. For the fruit of all creation, thanks be to God. These, friends, are songs of joy and praise, of tribute and celebration. So is this how the creature says thanks? Well, of course it is. surely is for me. Sometimes lifting our voices in song is the only response we can make to the wonders of creation and the blessings of life. In today's ancient word, the Apostle Paul falls to his knees in gratitude before the God he serves, the God from whom every family on earth, not just nuclear or extended families, but every clan, tribe, people, and nation takes its name, derives its identity. It was the Jewish custom at that time for the faithful to stand and lift their hands in, and their eyes along with their voices in prayer. But here Paul, with all his tendency toward ego and pride, is overwhelmed in the presence of the Holy One, is overcome by the enormity of God's blessings, is humbled in gratitude for the gifts beyond imagining, and falls to his knees. Have you ever experienced a time like that? A time when you felt so overwhelmed by the beauty or the power or the wisdom or the grace of something or someone, of something or some presence, that you fell on your knees and sang or shouted or whispered, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." The wise Meister Eckhart wrote that if the only prayer you said was "thank you," that would be enough. But is that true? Is such a prayer the only way we say thanks? Our tithes and offerings and pledges are a way of saying thanks. Thanks to God for all of our blessings. Thanks to Christ for our salvation, our sense of well-being. Thanks to this congregation, which functions as our community of faith, love, and support. The financial support of the church and its wider mission can be, ought to be, a gesture of gratitude, a way to say thanks. But it should never feel coerced or depend on some sense of obligation. Stewardship teaches us that giving our time, talent, and treasure, when rightly practiced, comes from a deep sense of gratitude. The title for this sermon derives from a set of church stewardship materials crafted to the theme, Fearless Generosity. The theme is taken from this text in Ephesians, and initially I couldn't quite see how it all fit together. Paul isn't talking directly about good stewardship or even fearless generosity when he falls on his knees in prayer for the church in Ephesus. But you know, the more I thought about it, I realized that what Paul is praying has everything to do with generosity. He's writing here about the very things that ground our thanksgiving and call forth our generosity. Hear his prayer again, and imagine that Paul himself was kneeling in our midst this morning, praying on our behalf. I pray that, according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through the Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Imagine Fairview Community Church strengthened in its inner being, at its very core, with the power of the Spirit. What if Christ was to dwell in our hearts through faith? Think of this community rooted and grounded in love. What if we own the power to comprehend the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge? Can you see this community filled with the fullness of God? Wouldn't this be enough to flood us with gratitude and generate a fearless generosity? Why fearless, you ask? Though I'm guessing you already know the answer. Have you ever been afraid? Silly question, isn't it? Those early Christians in Ephesus must have held a number of fears as they claimed and proclaimed their new faith tradition. Some Jews and some Gentiles alike saw them as a threat to their ancient traditions and practices. The Christians were a small, struggling community with limited resources. They fell outside the cultural norm, and still they felt called to critique popular cultural beliefs and dominant expectations. Does that sound familiar? They had plenty of reasons to feel fear. But then there's that nagging voice that echoes throughout all of our sacred writings. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Have hope. Take courage. Remember the Holy One, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. See, here's the truth that Paul is praying. It's when the blessings of God, the good news of Jesus Christ, the power of the Spirit indwell us, take root in the core of our being, that courage comes to the fore and manifests itself in shalom, in justice, righteousness, peace, well-being, compassion, and the love that transforms our lives, our community, and the world. Buechner shows us how important this indwelling is, how vital finding God's beloved community is to our finding fulfillment for ourselves. In his vision, we are created and called to be that beloved community. In holiness, goodness, beauty, God's beloved community is as close as breathing and is crying out to be born both within ourselves and within the world. It's where our best dreams come from and our truest prayers. We glimpse it at those moments when we find ourselves being better than we are and wiser than we know. We catch sight of it when at some moment of crisis, a strength seems to come to us that is greater than all our own strength. How does the creature say thanks? By living into our best dreams and our truest prayers. In this week's Keeping Up with FCC, I shared some words from one of my favorite novels, Gilead, by Marilynne Robinson. In the passage, she draws on a concept of prevenient courage from her reading of the theological notion of prevenient grace. The notion that divine grace precedes human decision, that it begins without consideration of anything we have done, good or bad. She gives the ancient Reverend Ames this reflection: I think there must also be a prevenient courage that allows us to be brave. That is, to acknowledge that there is more beauty than our eyes can bear, that precious things have been put into our hands, and to do nothing to honor them is to do great harm. And therefore, this courage allows us, as the old men said, to make ourselves useful. It allows us to be generous, which is another way of saying exactly the same thing. It struck me that this is a word about fearless generosity. There's something in recognizing the beauty around us, the wonder of creation, the love in which we are rooted and grounded, the possibilities of life that calls forth courage, that evokes fearlessness in the face of everything that threatens, that worries, that drags us down. Are you afraid that you're too small? That your resources are too limited? That there just isn't enough to go around? Well, there's that haunting voice again. Do not be afraid. Take heart. Have courage. Hold hope. That's what it means for us to be the beloved community, the people of God, the body of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. That's how the creature says thanks, by letting go of fear and living with courageous generosity. Fearless generosity is only one part of what it means to be God's beloved community, but it is an important part. As Robinson reminds us, generosity is another way to name the courage to be useful, to act, to make a difference in the world. What you know and love as Fairview Community Church is not the only way to manifest the beloved community, though it is probably the one with which you are most familiar. Do we have the courage to commit ourselves to this time of transition, of letting go of some of the old things and trying some new things, of becoming a different manifestation of the beloved community in Costa Mesa, a different manifestation than you've ever been before? Nothing we do or try will perfectly fulfill that community. At the same time, we're called to step out in faith, to practice fearless generosity in the service of the Holy One, and in hope of all that is to come. How does the creature say thanks? In our singing and in our praying, in our giving and in our caring, in our seeing and in our serving, in our living and in our loving, in our every breath. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.